It is my honor this morning to welcome you into this place for this wedding of Nate and Iva. And we need to be here this morning remembering that we're all guests to support and to bless and to honor them today, but we're also here to celebrate one of God's good ideas. And God is the author of the idea of marriage. He's also the author of life. He's author of Iva's life, bringing her through life to this point. He is the author of Nathan's life, bringing him to this point in his journey and bringing them together this morning, guiding these two to this place. So we want to pray before we proceed here. But as we approach God, we're not approaching him as someone whom we need to invite into this occasion, but recognizing that he is the author of the idea, and we are here sort of as his guests today to recognize something that he has blessed, and he is the master of the occasion. So let's approach him like that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father God, we just want to come to you and recognize you as the author of life, the one who blesses marriage and one who has called it good. You're the guide of youth. You're the one that puts your blessing on this occasion. We thank you for the institution of marriage and the blessing it is to those that enter it faithfully and carry it out as you've planned it. We thank you for Iva and for Nate and for their lives coming together today. Thank you for all those gathered here today that are here to witness and support them in this occasion. We want to pray today that the marriage that begins today would be blessed by you and be carried out faithfully through the years until you call one of them home. We want to honor you as we celebrate this today. We pray your blessing on this couple and on this day and on this celebration, and that all that we do and say here would honor and glorify our King. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And may we continue to worship as we listen to the next song.
Spirit, come in this place. this place. Fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place.
Good morning. Nate and Iva, super excited for you guys. You can turn in your hymns of the church, the purple books, to song number 155. Song number 155, "That's Great Is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou for blessings all mine with 10,000. beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Now I can see everyone. Well, Nate and Iva, your special day has finally arrived. After much planning, a lot of, hopefully not blood, but probably sweat and tears. it's finally here. And I count it a privilege to share this moment with you. I really, really appreciated the thoughts that Brother Brian opened with, just reminding us who came up with this idea, this beautiful thing of marriage. And I thought about if I would give my son a picture of me and said, hey, you can remember me by this. If my son would take that picture, wad it up, throw it in the trash, and say, no, Dad, I can remember you in some other way. You know, that would make me really sad. And yet we see that God has given marriage as a picture of himself. And yet our world today takes that picture, crumples it up, and throws it in the trash. That should grieve us. But just as grieving as crumpling up that picture, so God is so rejoicing when people treasure that picture. When they keep it close to them, they remain faithful to it, and it reminds them over and over again, this is how God loves his bride. This is how God loves his church. And that's why I too am excited that you, Nathan and Iva, are choosing to enter into this picture with the fear of God and a love for God in mind. Nathan asked me to share a message on faithfulness. And I think faithfulness is a really, really good word. Faithfulness is what we think about. It's the quality of staying committed to something or someone over a long period of time. The willingness to strive with something or someone through hardship. Faithfulness is a rarity in our world. You don't see it too often because there's such an emphasis on selfishness and individualism. Faithfulness and individualism do not coincide. They don't jive together. They're mutually opposed. When we think of anything that's a worthy achievement, we think about things like climbing Mount Everest or becoming a doctor, building a business, or winning a medal. All of these things entail faithfulness in order for them to be achieved. But also, with faithfulness comes commitment. You can't have faithfulness without some sort of commitment. And also, the longer the commitment is kept, the longer you have faithfulness, the greater the power of that faithfulness. Let me give you an example. If I would commit to running a mile a day, 3 times a week, well, that would be a good thing, but if I'd only do that for 2 weeks, not much has changed. But if I remain faithful to that commitment for an entire year, that's 52 weeks, I have ran over 150 miles. And that faithfulness speaks louder in my physical body because I'd be all the healthier for it. So the longer the faithfulness goes, the greater the power of it. Well, the same is true in relationship. If I would go to a seminar or something or happen to meet somebody at an event and we have a good time of fellowship, hey, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. But if I would maintain that friendship for 30 years, that faithfulness to that relationship will have reaped many, many rewards on both parties. So faithfulness in relationship also reaps great rewards. I want to think about the faithfulness of God. And as we think about the faithfulness of God, after that, I want to talk about your faithfulness. The Bible speaks much about God's faithfulness, especially in the Psalms. Psalm 36:5 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." Lamentations 3:22 through 23 says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And we sang about God's faithfulness this morning already. So how does God demonstrate his faithfulness? My mind went to 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When John says, when he wrote, "God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins," he was saying, we can count on him to be consistently forgiving when we confess our sins. It means that God is steady and consistent in forgiveness. And over time, that forgiveness will not wane in quality. It stays consistent because he is faithful to forgive. Now, God's faithfulness also started with a commitment. He made a commitment to Abraham that he will make him a great nation. He will bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. And through him, all families of the nations will be blessed. That's when God declared his commitment. And even at the beginning of that commitment, God's faithfulness changes people. But it changed Abraham. His faithfulness changed Abraham so much that God gave him a new name. He's no longer called Abram. He was called Abraham after God started that faithful commitment. And even Abraham's wife, her name was also changed. And throughout the Bible, we actually see how God's faithfulness changes people. You have Saul turning into Paul. You have Simon turning into Peter. His faithfulness changes people. God's faithfulness also reaps rewards. He is faithful. He has been faithful for an eternity. And because of his faithfulness for an eternity, he will receive a reward of our praise and honor for an eternity. He is deserving of it because he is the one, he is the essence of faithfulness. But faithfulness not only reaps rewards for the person that is faithful, faithfulness also reaps rewards for those around who are receiving that faithfulness. And so part of God's reward is also giving us a reward. He longs for us to celebrate in that reward, to be with him. Now, with faithfulness being an attribute of God, it would only make sense when Paul listed the fruit of the Spirit. He listed it as such: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes into someone, renewing them, they now also have the attribute of faithfulness, and it will show up in their lives. So you and Iva, Nathan and Iva, you, upon your confession, you have been made new. You have this attribute of faithfulness that you will need in order to carry out this commitment. The most important commitment that anyone can make is to Jesus Christ. There is no greater commitment. There is no more important commitment. There is no commitment that will change a person both as much in this life and the next is the commitment to Jesus Christ. But now you, by entering into this new commitment, because this commitment of marriage is a picture of God, this now falls under the umbrella of your commitment to God because it's a part of him. To be faithful to your marriage is to be faithful to God. It does not usurp, it does not take the place of your commitment to God, but it is most definitely a part of it. It's inseparable because it's a part of God. It's a picture of him. So Nathan, when you cherish Iva more than your very life, more than your own preferences, you are demonstrating not just a love for Iva, but a love for God. And Iva, when you choose to honor Nathan, honor what he deems best for your family, honor him in his decisions, support him in whatever ministry he calls both of you to, you are not just honoring Nathan, you are honoring God. And so your faithfulness, too, begins with a commitment. Now, when you start this commitment, you are saying yes to each other. Something we don't often think about: when we say yes to something, we're saying no to other things. If I say, yes, I will go meet a friend for coffee at noon on a Saturday, I'm saying yes to that appointment. I'm saying, no, I'm not going to work on a Saturday project over that time. I'm saying, no, I'm not going to take my kids out for ice cream over that time. I'm saying, no, I'm not going to be at home at that time. There's a lot of no's that we say when we say yes to something. Well, what you are about to enter into is a lifelong yes. You are saying yes to each other, which means you're saying, which means that you're also saying no to a lot of other things for a lifetime. You're saying, I'm not going to give my eyes, my body, my heart to no other person except you for a lifetime. That's a whole lot of no's It's a big yes. It's a beautiful yes. I want to share with the audience what has led Nathan and Iva to this yes. Nathan said this about Iva. Iva's outgoing, friendly, and caring. She is a hard worker. She has a heart for youth and loves people. She is thoughtful and cares for the well-being of others. She is on fire for the Lord. Growing in love with Iva has helped me become a better encourager and live life intentionally. Iva said this about Nate. Nate has quiet confidence. He has passion and posture with humility. He cares about people and gives generously. Growing in love with Nate has given me a strong desire to live in oneness with him. I will defend him against negativity. This is what has led Nathan and Iva to say yes for a lifetime to each other. And much like all faithfulness, your faithfulness to each other will change you. You are becoming one. What does that mean? It means that when one of you has a victory, the other has a victory. When one of you has a loss, the other one has a loss. When one of you is wounded, both of you, both, will feel pain. This is how the faithfulness in marriage changes you. You will ride side by side through the roller coaster of life, through the ups and downs, and sometimes the loop-de-loops. As the ride goes faster and faster, the need for you to scoot closer and closer together and be faithful to one another and to look to the one who's in charge of this ride becomes more and more paramount. And just like faithfulness changes you, faithfulness will also reap rewards for you. You give God the glory when you choose to be faithful to each other. And as you choose to be closer and closer together, even when the burrs of selfishness rub between you two, that's when it's most important to remain faithful. Because just as it says in the Psalms, in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. In order for iron to sharpen iron, it needs to rub together. And that means that there's going to be rough edges. There's going to be times when you don't feel like staying close together. But it's during those times that it's the most important, because that means a burr of selfishness is being rubbed away. And God is using your spouse to refine you and to sharpen you and to change you into more of his image. That should excite you, that God is going to use your spouse to reflect him more clearly, more sharply. That's why marriage is so beautiful. And as you are faithful to each other, you are a testimony of God's faithfulness. That's another reward. Also, as you are faithful to each other, you will establish a home that is safe for children. A child's development years is important to have faithfulness and structure present in their environment. A child needs structure. And I really believe that that's why our society continues to spiral more and more into turmoil, because there's no faithfulness. There are so few children today that have any idea what faithfulness looks like because it hasn't been modeled to them. You have an opportunity to demonstrate faithfulness through your home and through your marriage. Also, your faithfulness gives you opportunity for ministry. I will testify that my ministry would not be near what it is. Without my wife, she has enabled me, supported me through countless hours of study and meetings, and her support is why it helps me to see why when we do ministry, it's not just one doing ministry and the other person doing their thing. It takes both, because you are one. It's not one doing ministry and the other not. It's both engaged. If one is not committed to doing ministry, it's going to be a hard time for the other one to have any sort of impact. Both of you need to be committed to this and enable each other to go in the direction that God is calling you to reach those that God is calling you to testify to those that God has brought alongside you. It takes both. So this is a big yes, but I want to remind you of the yes that God has already said to each of you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He is faithful, who also will do it. So you could be confident that God will give you the grace to be faithful to this yes. You could be confident that God will fill you with joy and satisfaction when you choose your spouse over yourself. You can have that confidence. And in that, your marriage will thrive. It will blossom. It will be a blessing to not just you, but also those around you. That's what God desires for your marriage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for this institution of marriage, Lord. And we recognize that you established this at the beginning of time. And though there have been millions upon millions of marriages, each one is precious to you because each one is to be a picture of you. God, I pray that you would bless this union. I pray that your faithfulness would be present in their lives, and that as they choose to surrender to self and to surrender to you, they would walk out this faithfulness by being faithful to one another. I pray, God, that this service will be glorifying to you and that you would go with them as they start out this union and this commitment. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Nathan and Iva, Pastor Layton has just shared with you some powerful words of wisdom. And you would do well on each wedding anniversary to sit down and listen to those words again and to see how well you're doing. At this time, I'm inviting you to step forward. Do you, Nathan and Iva, believe that marriage is an ordinance instituted by God and confirmed and sanctioned by Jesus Christ, and that you must therefore enter in it but in the fear of God? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
I do.
Do you believe and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your personal Savior, and as such, he should be recognized as the Lord of your life, this marriage union, and your home? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
I do.
As you now recall your commitment to Christ and to the church, will you now endeavor by the grace of God to establish a Christian home where Christ's love is practiced and Christian values are embraced? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
We will.
In token that your hearts are knit together in true love, you may join your right hands. Nathan, she whose hand you hold is to be your wedded wife. Your character and conduct will greatly determine her happiness in life. She has given you one of the most precious things under heaven, a woman's love. It will be the continued exercise of love and courtesy which you have shown her in courtship that will keep her one with your heart. Nathan, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Iva, the sister by your side, to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, and live in peace as becometh a faithful Christian husband? Will you forsake all others and keep yourself only to her as long as you both shall live? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Iva, whose hand you clasp is to be your wedded husband. Your life and love will be his inspiration and help. He will look to you for encouragement, cheerfulness, and confidence. Your life will be the inspiration, and your love will be the protection he needs as a Christian man in today's world. He will seek your respect and trust you with his most valued treasure, his family and children. Iva, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Nathan, the brother by your side, to be your wedded husband? Will you love and cherish him in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity? Share with him the joys and sorrows of life. Exercise patience and kindness and forbearance toward him. And live in peace as becometh a faithful and submissive Christian wife. Will you forsake all others and keep yourself only to him as long as you both shall live? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Since you have exchanged these solemn vows before God and these witnesses, I therefore, as a minister of the gospel, pronounce you husband and wife. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be with you and bless this union abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the love of Christ, which never fails, bind you constantly to each other. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Go forth as husband and wife, live in peace, fear God, and keep his commandments. At this time, there will be a prayer of blessing, and so we will invite the parents to come forward along with Jonathan, Debbie Hostetler.
Father, we want to pray a blessing on Nathan and Iva this morning. And we want that your will would be done in their lives, and as the arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children one's youth. And we want you to direct their lives that they can be those arrows out in the enemy's territory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for this opportunity to share this moment with Nathan and I. Pray your blessing on them, and you should see fit to bring children to this union. Give them wisdom to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and send them forth in your name. Lord, we thank you for this reminder that great marriage of the land is you are preparing for those that love you. Thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name.
Father, we just thank you for this moment. We are so grateful for your faithfulness. Lord, we're grateful for the work that you've done in the lives of Nathan and Iva. Lord, we're so grateful that you've lifted them out of the miry pit of sin and set their feet on a rock, that rock being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're just grateful for the commitment they've made now in the presence of you and all these witnesses. Lord, we're grateful that your power through this Holy Spirit has enabled them to keep this commitment. And Father, as they go forth, we know that they will glorify you. We trust you, and we trust it in what they committed. Great is your faithfulness. And we love you and we trust you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
One look at you, sometimes.
Well, it is my privilege to introduce to you for the very first time Mr. and Mrs. Nathan Gingrich.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above.
We do have a few announcements. Please remain seated. The ushers will be dismissing you. There will be a receiving line in the foyer. The reception will be held at United Christian School, which is about a three-quarter mile north of here to the first stoplight. Take a left until you get there. The bridal party will be taking some photos before the reception. And so when you get to the reception, feel free to enjoy your appetizers as well as mingle with the rest of the guests. Nathan and Iva would also like for you to sign their Bible, and as well as put in share a favorite memory verse with them as well. And also at the tables, there will be little cards there for you to give some marriage advice. What has worked well for you? So feel free to share any marriage advice that you have with them. That's all I have for announcements. Thank you.